Have you ever looked at the world and just wondered why? I mean, why all the heartache? Why all the pain? Why all the suffering? Why all the difficulties? Why? Have you ever directed the question of why toward our Creator? God, if you're a God of love, why do you allow? And then you could fill in the blank with all sorts of different things. You may say, God, why did you create the devil knowing what he was going to do? You might say, God, why did you put humanity in the position of being tempted in the first place? God, why did you plant that tree right there in the midst of the Garden of Eden? You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, recently I was asking that question and thinking about the name of that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not just the tree of the knowledge of evil, which is what I've always tended to think of it as being, but first it was the tree of the knowledge of good. I mean, does the name of the tree seem to imply that Adam and Eve, had they not eaten from it, would not have really had any knowledge of good, even though they lived in a place that was good beyond what we can imagine? I mean, does that mean that they were unable to comprehend how good it was to walk with God in the cool of the day until after they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Man, if you think about it too hard, it might make your brain short circuit. I think thinking too hard about this sort of thing has made my brain short circuit. Now, before you start thinking about it too much, let's talk about something else real quick. Over the past week or so, we've looked at some tough, but what I think are very encouraging passages from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle sent by God to the Gentiles to reveal to us the gospel of grace. Now, the type of stuff we've looked at requires you to put your thinking cap on, but it also requires that God, by His grace, opens up your heart, mind, and ears to begin to hear and grasp. And that's really the way it is with all biblical truth. Now, as you read the Bible, some of these statements from Paul might not seem super significant if you just breeze on by them. However, when you pause, reflect, and absorb what's being said, it might stir up some serious questions. In Romans 11, verse 36, as Paul speaks of God, he says, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things." Think about it. For of Him are all things. Through Him are all things. To Him are all things, not just some things. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus." All things are of God. Now, did Paul really mean all things are of God? Yeah, he does. Which, by the way, a little side note, in these times that we're living in, should give you a little bit of peace, as everyone is stressing about the presidential election. All things are of God. Trust God in all things. In his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 6, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul said this, "There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." There's one God, of whom are all things. One Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. Now again, those are some easy words to breeze by. But when you stop and think about it, on one level, it may be a bit disturbing. All things are of God. All things come from God. Yeah. If you believe that God is God and you believe that God is a creator, this should just go without saying. But what makes it difficult is the question of evil and the hardships and the difficulties in life. You know, we could come up with a list of things that might bother us to think about coming from God, and that list could probably go on and on and on like that little battery-powered rabbit on TV. But think about this. Before God placed man in the garden, God had already created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and placed it there. Before God created the garden, He had created the heavens and the earth, right? Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, before the foundation of the world, Paul tells us some other interesting things. In fact, Peter does, and so does John in the book of Revelation, about things that took place before the foundation of the world. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that He, being God, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it speaks of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Wow. Over and over, the Bible talks about these things that were done before the foundation of the world having to do with God's saving work for humanity. Now, the word translated as world in those verses I just shared is a Greek word, cosmos. So before the creation of the cosmos, God had already prepared Christ for and laid out the plan for our redemption. It was His planning and all God's doing. It seems that even before the creation of Lucifer or Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, God had already put in place a plan of redemption for us. Before God placed the tree in the garden, He knew what the result would be, or else He wouldn't have planned salvation beforehand, right? And all that happened as a result of God putting that tree in the garden could not possibly have been God's plan going awry. It couldn't have been everything slipping through God's fingers, or else God would not be much of a God at all. It was all part of His plan. Why? Well, that's the question. When I was a kid, I drove everyone around me crazy with that question. I was always asking, why? And as I've gotten older, I'm still asking, why? Some things, I guess, really don't change much over time. And when we're together next time, we're going to take a look at what I believe is the reason why God placed the tree in the garden, and why in the world God would have set us up to experience what we experience in this life. Now, let me tell you up front, I'm not claiming to have the answers. I'm simply going to share with you what I think after asking a lot of questions for a lot of years and looking for answers and then wrestling with the implications. I'm James Flanders, and I'm glad that the Word of God paints a picture of God, knowing what He's doing, being in control, and having a purpose behind all that He does and all that we see and all that we experience. I'm also glad that you and I had the opportunity to spend some time together today as we learn to walk the path of grace, hand in hand, side by side with one another. Thank you so much for your prayers, your encouragement, and your support. Be blessed, my friend.